What's up, everybody? I'm Jesse Ziegler.
And I'm Quinn Cody.
And this is officially the start of the 2026 Dakar Rally. We just got done with the prologue, and this is episode two of our show this year, our sixth season. If you missed Ricky Brabeck's interview prologue pre-race show, you should go check that out, YouTube, anywhere you get a podcast, because Ricky is awesome, and he is on the gas this year, and he gave us a lot of good insight into his space. And Quinn, the race happened. The race started.
It did. Yeah. 22-kilometer prologue outside of Yanbu. Mm-hmm. So, and we got kind of our first taste of what we're going to see at the front of this race.
Yeah. This is the prologue stage for anybody new to Dakar Rally or any rally sport in general. It's kind of like their first shakeout at full speed. They get their first taste of the road books for this series. And it's a really strategic part of the race too, even though it's only 22 kilometers. It gives them the chance to pick their start position for the first main big day tomorrow. And it's an inverted sort of, you got to win today to get a good start position. Maybe we should recap that a little bit, how it works, Quinn.
Yeah, this is always, you know, they try to make things as confusing as possible in this race. And so they start right off the bat with a confusing prolonged selection process. But the way that it works is the top 15 Rally GP riders get to choose their start position based on the prologue result.
Right.
So first place rider chooses last.
Got it.
So he'll generally will choose 15th place, right? Or 13th place, somewhere in there, because the winner of the prologue wants to start in a favorable position for tomorrow, which would be somewhere outside of the top 10, you know, so you have a bunch of tracks in front of you. You can let other guys open. Mm-hmm. Now the last place Rally GP rider will usually lead out the stage because they're the one that gets bumped all the way to the front. Right. And they go through this whole start selection process on the podium, and they make a big drama out of it.
Make it a big spectacle.
We all know where the top guy's going to pick.
Unless you were Mason Klein a couple years ago and you just decided to go first.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that too.
So today, really, the KTM boys came out swinging hard. We had Edgar Knet really laying down the hammer. He won the stage today over his teammate Daniel Sanders, the defending champion of the series and also defending Dakar champion. 3 seconds gap between those two KTM guys. So really fast stage. They finished it in, you know, under 12 minutes, 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
So they were cooking out there.
Young Spanish rider made history today. Also youngest rider to ever win a stage at the Dakar. So at 20 years old.
Yeah. So very good future ahead of him in this race so far. And man, putting Daniel on notice a little bit, showing him, hey, I'm here to race you, defending champ. Three seconds.
Yeah, Edgar's—he's a really good kid, young Catalan rider, and you know he's kind of the next big Spanish hero, I think.
Yeah. American Ricky Brabeck came in third place today, 5 seconds off the lead. Great prologue for Ricky, who's historically not had the best prologue result. Not by making any mistakes, but they just don't really seem to be warmed up that much for Ricky's camp in this prologue, and he came out swinging hard.
Yeah, this really kind of shows that you know, and he led on to that a little bit in his pre-race interview, is that he's come ready to race, and he's gonna let it hang out a little bit, I think, and he wants to be up front battling with Sanders and, you know, the KTM boys.
He's a comfortable, confident Ricky, and that's dangerous for everybody in this race, I think. KTM's third factory pilot, Luciano Benavides, came in fourth overall. You know, he's only 5 seconds behind Ricky. So he's 11 seconds out the lead. So another great ride by Luciano. He's got a lot of history at this race, and great ride by him too. So that stacks KTM's guys in the top four.
Yeah, I mean, three of the top four are all on the KTM factory, Red Bull factory racing team. So that's, I think they're making a statement there that they want to start off up front.
Just like they planned it.
Yep.
Just like they planned it. Our hero, Ross Branch, on the hero. We love seeing Ross Branch up there. He had a great race last year going until, you know, tragedy struck and he couldn't quite knock down that win. It's good to see Ross back up to speed in fifth place on this prologue, 16 seconds off the pace. and dropping another manufacturer in there. We talk about Hero every year, how strong they are. And man, Ross is the veteran of this race, and he has all the speed in the world. And it's going to be great to see him mixing it up in there.
Yeah, I love Ross Branch, and we always get some good quotes out of Ross. And, you know, he's seems to be always happy and happy-go-lucky, sure. Kind of fun guy. So it's great to have him back in the race.
We got another outsider, Michael Dougherty from South Africa. He's in sixth place today. He had a great prologue, 19 seconds off the pace in sixth place. And then the Honda boys stack up the rest of the top 10 almost with Tasha, you know, their sort of speedy guy sitting there in seventh. We've seen Tasha either rip this prologue and blow everybody out of the water. And today it seemed like he maybe held back a little bit. Maybe he's getting a little mature.
Yeah, not a traditional kind of characteristic prologue for Sharina. He's normally a guy who will hang it out and try to win the prologue. So mm-hmm. He's a little ways back and maybe showing some maturity this year.
The rest of the Honda guys, like I said, kind of stacked up there. Adrian Van Beveren in eighth place on the prologue, about 24 seconds off of the lead. And then American Skyler Howes in ninth place, 32 seconds off the lead. Again, Skyler has historically had a couple rough prologues and really set himself up with a blow to his mental state in the past. But this year he's on the gas.
Yeah. I heard a quote from Skyler this morning, and it sounded like he was pretty happy with this prologue, because he's definitely traditionally not a very good prologue guy and seems to struggle there. So it's good to get him started in a good position.
And nothing like coming into this race with all the nerves and all the preparation, and this is the big one that counts, and then nailing the prologue and being confident going into the first main stage. Like, that's just got to be like a weight off everybody's shoulders. Mishek Hoto. We got our fourth manufacturer in the top 10 here. Mishek, he's a Czech rider. We've talked about him in the past quite a bit as well. Coming in 44 seconds off the pace on that Factory Hoto Racing machine, which is a Chinese company, Chinese manufacturer. Coming into the Dakar for their, I want to say maybe their second year.
Second year,
I think.
Yeah. And they were there last year. And I've looked into what these bikes are, and I mean, Hoto does manufacture their own motorcycles, but it looks like they're on a couple year old KTM rally replica. Mm-hmm. So whether they bought these bikes and branded them as Hotos and they're racing them maybe with aspirations to have their own rally bike soon, right, similar to like what Kove has done. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these Hoto boys do.
Yeah, we have another American on the Hoto team, Mason Klein, who kind of came out of nowhere this year without a lot of talk about his Dakar rally. He came in with his, you know, he posted his number, his starting position. We haven't had a chance to talk to Mason yet before the race, but we have our guy on the ground at Dakar Rally trying to get a hold of Mason right now to mm-hmm. see, you know, his journey, what it's like, what the bike's like. So hopefully by the end of the show today, we'll have some insight from Mason on, you know, his prologue and kind of how he landed there on this team. And that's going to be interesting because we know everybody's sort of a Mason fan after what he's done at Dakar in the last 5 years. And he's always a great character to have there. And you know, he says it like it is. That's why we like Mason.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, that's our top 10. Mm-hmm. It looks like, Tobias Ebster is also, he's there in 11th on the Hero in the Rally 2 division. So it's kind of cool to see Tobias there. And then in 13th with, you know, his first ever Dakar stage, Preston Campbell,
yeah,
young American.
Very cool. And you mentioned Rally 2. So Preston's obviously racing the Rally 2, part of that Honda effort to bring a Rally 2 team into their factory effort. And they're riding on a CRF450 RX rally bike, which is a production-based bike, something Honda's been pushing for the last 2 years, try to develop an RX-based. So if you know anything about the Honda models, the RX mm-hmm. is their competition off-road close-course bike based on the 450R, but it has, you know, 18-inch rear wheel, that kind of stuff to make it more off-road worthy. So they've built a really, really capable rally system for that production bike. And they're really proving it out here in the prologue. Cool to see Preston up there. You know, he's sitting, I think, like fourth overall in the Rally 2 division, because Mishek, as we mentioned earlier, is a top Rally 2 guy sitting in the top five. So very cool for the Rally 2 guys to be mixing up there. Again, if you want to go back and listen to Ricky's interview, he talks a lot about the importance of Rally 2 in this race and sort of the fun dynamic that the Rally 2 guys get into the mix as they're racing with these guys. Because Rally 2 guys have a little bit more freedom on a few of the things because they're not limited by, you know, tire choice every day and that kind of stuff. So it's really great. Again, go check out Ricky's interview if you haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool to see, you know, a young guy like Preston get an opportunity. Preston's the son of Johnny Campbell, who's, you know, obviously Baja legend and Dakar racer himself.
Yeah.
So, and Johnny's been a big part of the Honda development program for a lot of years. So it's super cool to see Preston. And I mean, I remember when I was racing Dakar, and I think a photo popped up on my, you know, Facebook memories the other day of Preston when he was about 8 years old with my Dakar rally bike. So it's definitely making me feel old to see these young kids now here racing at Dakar.
The Dakar bomber that Quinn raced is a lot different than the production 450 RX that Preston's racing, and something that would have been just a dream when you were trying to build your own rally bike, you know, with Johnny in the shop, just like welding and duct taping things together. I'm sure it was a much, much more streamlined experience for Preston this year than your experience.
For sure. No, this is, it's great to see, you know, when I was doing it, it was such a, you know, shoestring deal. And so it's cool to see him get this opportunity in his first go on basically a factory team with a, you know, near factory equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. We love the opportunity. We want to see this sport grow and to have, you know, the Rally 2 sort of that factory level now really gives more people opportunities to really perform at a level that isn't as hand homemade built like back in the day with Quinn.
Yeah.
Quinn, what was your favorite result today? Seeing Preston up there, or what are you pumped on the most?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. Obviously from today's stage, I mean, Preston being up in the top 15, is really cool to see, you know, for him. And then I think Edgar Canet being, you know, taking the prologue win, becoming the youngest rider ever to win a stage at Dakar. That's pretty cool. And I think this kind of shows the future. Obviously we're missing some of the veterans that have stepped away this year. We talked about that a little bit in the pre-show, but yeah. You know, over our real big names over the last 10 years are out of the motorcycle division now. I mean, Toby Price.
Yep.
We have Kevin Benavides, who retired this past year. Paulo Quintanilla, Sam Sunderland. So, you know, these are five of the top guys that we talked about for the last 5 years, right? That are not there. So it's making some room for some young guys to have an opportunity to mix it up.
Yeah. Love it. We got to give a shout out to Brandon Krause from the USA. He was 18th today in the Rally 2 division. Brandon works at KTM in the marketing department, literally, you know, a couple blocks away from the Cycle News studio here. And, you know, he earned his way into the Dakar Rally from Sonora Rally, I believe. And, it's good to see him doing the whole, you know, just going to do it, just going to wing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, you know, Brandon's on the Bast team. So he's obviously got a good support system there. And Brandon's dad, Paul Krause, former, obviously desert racing legend and former Dakar racer himself. Paul was one of the last guys to race on a twin cylinder KTM 950.
The coolest.
I'd have to look that up, but I want to say back in 2004, maybe 2003, 2004. So it's pretty cool to see the son of a legend there racing, young American.
Very cool.
And I think Paul is actually there in the bivouac. So we have another guy that we can call and get some inside info from.
Yeah. I'd love to hear Brandon's, you know, response after a few days of being in the trenches out here, how it is different than doing his normal, you know, National Hare and Hound races and his other races that he normally competes in. Get some real perspective from a real person, not these aliens that make it look easy.
Very cool.
Okay, really quick, I got to give a shout out to our sponsors this year. Climb Again, title sponsor of the Dakar Rally Daily. Climb's been with us since the beginning. They're coming on strong again this year, and we wouldn't be here without Climb for sure. Obviously, Cycle News, they let me come to work every day here, and they let us use the studio. Very cool of them, Cycle News. Thank you so much. And our presenting sponsors, Baja Rally's back in it. Baja Rally's coming up. You got to check out the Baja Rally entry system. Get your spot now. There's training going on. They have a lot of programs to get you into rally. Quinn and I talked about in our pre-race show how easy it is to do rally now, and there's really no excuse. If you got an enduro bike, you can go out and race a rally. So make sure you check out Baja Rally. And our co-presenting sponsor, Rally Navigator, is also there to make it easy for you. It's the best way to learn how to do rally and learn road books and learn how the, you know, language of road books works, is to just get on Rally Navigator and start making some routes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a software you can download and get in there, and basically gives you a Google Earth image. You can draw tracks right there, and you can make a road book and then go out and ride it.
Yeah. And everybody uses it. It's, yep. It's the system that makes it make sense.
Yeah. I mean, Jordi Villadoms, who's building all the training road books for the KTM factory team, he uses Rally Navigator to create all the training road books for these guys. So it's definitely the go-to software.
Yeah. So check those guys out. We appreciate their support. We got more people coming on board and more ways that you can support the show yourself coming up soon. So just keep watching and keep listening, and we'll keep you informed.
That's right. So tomorrow's stage, really, this is the first real day of racing, and kind of what we have in store for tomorrow is, it's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's not a little day tomorrow.
No,
it's they're throwing them to the wolves, so to speak. They are staying in the same bivouac tonight, and they're going to do a little liaison north up the coast, it looks like, and then they're going to hang a hard right and then just rip all the way back down past the bivouac to the east of the bivouac, cruising through the desert. This is the rockier, sort of more deserty terrain. This isn't big sand dunes. This is going to be a lot of, you know, high speed punctures for tire possibility for the car guys, for sure. We already heard today that, you know, numerous people had punctures in this short prologue, and, you know, that really leaves those car guys out there pretty bad. If it's rocky, right?
Yeah.
And obviously it's dangerous if you're on a motorcycle to be going that fast with rocks and tracks and that kind of stuff too. So,
yeah. And you know, this is the type of stage that we've seen Ricky Brabec do really well in, is these kind of rocky, a little more technical terrain and pretty similar to what we have here in California. So
yeah,
I think Ricky's going to have a good shot tomorrow.
Plus, he's going to be in a great starting position, probably. You know, he's going to be at that back end in the 10th to 15th spot, trying to you know, take advantage of the people leading out, but also, you know, just hammer down and try to pass some people.
Yep. And, you know, you have guys like Sanders who go fast anywhere. And so it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see how tomorrow's stage kind of sets us up for the rest of the rally, really.
How long is tomorrow's stage?
So special stage is 305 kilometers.
Okay.
And which is, you know, it's a decent stage. And timing wise, it looks like it's going to take them quite a while. I looked at the timing, and I think, you know, first bike starts around 7:15. And I want to say, I'd have to look back at the timing, but I want to say around noon was when they expected the first bike to finish. So
it's not going to be a cruise.
No. It's definitely going to, you know, they're expecting it to take a while for them to finish the stage, which is interesting. It makes me think that maybe it's going to be a little bit more technical. Navigation will be a little bit more challenging. So
yeah, maybe even like technical riding, like rocky, hilly, not just flat out.
Yep. But we've also seen this from the organization where they expect it to take the stage to take them 6 hours and they get done in, you know, 3.5 or something.
Yeah,
so
true.
it's just kind of an indicator, like Ricky said in our pre-show, it just gives them an idea of what they might be in store for, but it's definitely not hard facts.
All right. I think we should hear from our top couple guys from the race today. Let's get Edgar Kinney. We got a interview from him from the finish line right after he posted the fastest time. I don't think he knew he won at this point, but here he is hanging out at the finish line.
Yeah, so prologue finished. Super happy with the rhythm, with the severity I have in the top of the bike. I was following 100% the road book, so super happy with that. I can brake like before the dangers, don't take other risk, and I'm well, super fast, so super happy with this feeling, and it's the best way to start a rally.
And now you have the best lap time, so not bad.
Yeah, for the time I have the best time, but you know, the rally GPs needs to come, all the big dogs. But yeah, for the moment, super happy with that. This means we are fast, so that's good.
We are fast.
Yeah, I'd say he's definitely fast.
Yeah.
I mean, Edgar, he's so young and has so much raw speed. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, last year he had some struggles with consistency, and he's got a good mindset, and he knows he's here to learn. And so it'll be interesting to see how he develops in this rally. And for sure there's mistakes that are going to be made and things that he's going to do that, you know, are going to hold him back a little bit. But I think that, you know, we'll probably see a stage win for him before the end of this thing. And,
yeah,
you know, possibly a good solid overall finish. Maybe even, you know, if things go his way, maybe even a podium.
Yeah. You got to keep it together for all these days and all these miles. But, if he's in any position to do so, you know, he is, because he's, you know, right behind Daniel and Luciano, and the combined experience of those guys and that team is just massive.
Yeah.
It's just massive. Speaking of Daniel, let's hear from him, our stage finisher number two today.
So, Danny, how is it to start with the number one on the bike?
Yeah, it's so good. We're just happy to be here at the start line and get prologue done. It was a lot faster than expected. It wasn't so technical, so it was hard to make up time gas the whole time, so I'm sure there were really close times, and yeah, it's good to get that out of the way and get into a stage tomorrow.
He's in the stage tomorrow for sure. Good spot.
He is, yeah. And you know, this is going to be interesting to watch this year with Sanders, right? We've talked about this before, but how difficult it is to repeat a win.
Yeah,
right. He dominated last year. Let's face it. Like, he won, I don't know, something like seven yeah. stages and yeah. led the rally from start to finish. So there was not a day that he didn't lead the rally last year. But you know, with that comes, you know, all of this, all these new responsibilities, all this fame. I mean, in Australia, he's on the national news all the time, and he has all these commitments. He has to travel for KTM to appearances, and
yeah,
and that can cause issues with your focus, and that's why it is so hard to repeat a back to back Dakar win, right?
Yeah, because you're on top of the world, and all yeah. that pressure, whether you claim to feel it or not, is there. For sure.
Yeah. And he's been dealing with all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's, you know, they own a property in Australia, an apple farm, and they actually hold local, cross country races on his property. Mm-hmm. And the local council, the local government basically tried to shut his property down and forbid them from having races on their property. And he's been fighting with the local council and back and forth. And so just all these things going on in his life. Right. And you know, how he deals with that is really going to be interesting to see this year. I mean, I have a feeling that he's a little bit of he's such a talent that I think he's a little bit of a freak, and he might be one of the guys that can actually deal with all that and still be able to hold it together and win a second time.
So Daniel's one of those guys that's just been like such a beast at this race with a different sort of mental state than almost anybody else. And we've seen it in his racing prior to, but when he entered, he was one of the guys that was outside the main group of motorcycle riders when they were deciding not to race at a special stage. It was clearly dangerous. I mean, I don't know if you remember when Ross broke his leg. I think he hit a a hole that a car had made because they were racing on the car track from the day before. Now they separate basically the car and bike tracks as much as possible. They're not having the bike guys race on an old car track. But that wasn't always the case. And all the racers got to the start of the special and Ross crashes and wipes out and everybody's like, whoa, 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 this is too dangerous. And he's looking at everybody like, yeah, yeah, it's a dangerous sport. That's why I'm here. Let's go race. And he's sitting kind of all by himself over there and calling everybody princesses on the his quotes and stuff. And he's just got such a killer mentality out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's that kind of Aussie mindset, right?
True.
They don't care. They just want to go race.
Yeah.
You know? And if it's dangerous, it's dangerous, whatever. Right. Yeah. And
that's why I get paid.
Yeah. And a guy like Sanders, he has so much talent and that's why he's so dangerous, is because he can ride these stages at 90%.
Yeah.
And everyone else is riding at 110% to try to stay with him.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where it gets really dangerous, because he's just wearing guys down and they're going to make navigation errors. They're going to do stuff because they're trying to run his pace.
Yeah.
And that's what he did to him last year. And, you know, Time will tell.
It's going to be a tough challenge to knock him off that throne he's on, for sure. And it's going to be really interesting to see everybody come out swinging. And they're swinging. There's a lot of people not making mistakes. I think Nacho had a tough prologue today. I think he may have crashed or had something issue.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about a crash, but I think maybe whether he was holding back or just, you know.
We might see Nacho leading the stage tomorrow to start.
Yeah, so it looks like they just posted the start list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for stage one.
All right.
So it looks like Mohamed Al-Balushi is going to lead things off again. I believe I think he's nearly every year since he's been in the Rally GP class, he's let out the first stage.
Mohamed's the spirit of Rally. He's racing in the top class, and he's going to be leading out these guys again. So good to see him.
UAE.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Mohamed's
taking the lead.
Santolino, Lorenzo Santolino on the Sherco will be rolling out second.
Okay.
And Nacho Cornejo on the Hero will be starting third. So I think that probably before long, we're going to see Nacho and Santolino leading out the stage and collecting that bonus time.
Got it. Yep.
Then we have Mason Klein on the Hoto. Starting fourth.
All right.
So that'll be kind of the first four or five guys. Bradley Cox on another Sherco will be starting fifth.
Cool. Top five set up.
And then we can kind of jump to the other end of the race, because again, these start positions were chosen in the order that they finished the prologue.
Right. Yeah.
So our stage winner, Edgar Canet, he chose to start 14th.
Okay.
And Sanders, or I'm sorry, 15th.
Yep.
And Sanders will be starting 16th. So Edgar chose to start just in front of Sanders, which is kind of interesting. But I think that may be a good play for the young guy, because he knows he's got Daniel behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So they start at these kind of 2 minute gaps. So if Sanders catches him, then he can kind of work together with Daniel, follow him, maybe learn a little bit. And I think that might be a smart move by Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ricky Brabec starting 14th.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to have kind of that power group right there, that four or five guys of, you know, Sanders, Canet, Brabec, and Benavidez all kind of 13, 14, 15, 16.
It'll be cool to see how that plays out with Brabec leading those two front runners in this stage, and see how his form really is, you know, head to head against those guys, because they're going to be coming up behind him and he's going to be, you know, going for it.
Yep.
Unless he's not going for it all the way, because the next day he might not want to lead out, right?
Yeah.
But we've talked about this too, and we think that's not necessarily the case.
I think if there's time to be made, they're gonna go for it, right?
The time.
You know, that's kind of what Sanders did last year, was he just went out and he won straight away and he got himself a gap, and then he just he maintained it. So it'll be interesting to see where if this pendulum effect starts, you know, or like what Ricky was calling it, the rubber band thing, where, you know, you have fast guys on both ends of it and they just start swapping stage wins every day, then that might be a little different, but we'll see.
Nice.
And then kind of right in the middle on the sweet spot, Skylar Howes, he's starting eighth, and Adrian Van Beveren, his teammate, starting ninth. So those guys are in a good little middle ground there to have a good result tomorrow.
Awesome. I'm excited to hear all about this tomorrow and get more insight into more of these racers. We just got some stuff from Anthony Bonello, our man on the ground in the pits. He's running around with this really cool Bronco team from Canada. We'll get more information on them so you guys can check them out. But it's basically a bunch of Canadians that just built their own race truck out of a Ford Bronco Raptor R and the racing Dakar. And he's on their team, but in his spare time, he's interviewing motorcycle racers for us. So we got a couple guys we want to talk about. He did get us an interview with Mason Klein, and I think we should probably talk about that first, because Mason's, you know, he's a celebrity, and he's on a new bike, and he's on a new team, and he's always ready to say what's on his mind. So should we hear from Mason first?
Yeah, I think we have to.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to hear from Mason. I haven't talked to him in a while.
And Yanbu C Camp, I think. Just got done with the prologue. I think I'm here to talk to you a little bit about my bike and how the prologue went.
Give us a tour and how'd you end up on Hotog?
Yeah, so this is my team. It's pretty fun, pretty chill vibes, you know. Not a lot of planning needed, right? Just bring the bikes and ride. That's kind of what I'm seeing. And I kind of like it, but I kind of don't. Especially the part I like is, like, it's a good motor, right? It's a good base. The whole bike is a really good base.
What's the motor?
It's a Hoto. But you know what it is, for real, right? The whole thing, right? Just different fuel tanks, some other little things. They actually have the bike, like, their version. Just at the last second, they changed everything. They bought some new bikes and they just put some fuel tank, like made their own, right? It's their own, whatever, but bolted on. They show me all this stuff, like they have the bike. It's just like not together. And I also told them I want to finish. So we got some good ones now.
Feeling confident on it, or how much have you ridden this bike?
The longest session I put on it was the Liaison today. That's as much as I've ridden it. The whole time. If I would have known more, I would have had my good shock in the rear. I was able to get my forks. My dad, he was like getting in the car to go to the airport to fly out, and I was able to call him like last second, yo, swap out the forks. Didn't have time for my shock, and obviously kind of sad, but I have some help here to help me work on the rear shock, and got all my stuff serviced up. It was completely clapped out, and forks were horrible, and obviously stock valving, stock springs. It was not ready to race for sure, but I think we're getting pretty close now. The bike is not like enough, you know, it's typical problems of the bike, right? So I'm still messing with gearing, trying to figure out how to get it to pull the gearing. I think my top speed today was only like 146. It's kind of sad. I don't know what other people are really getting, but I know what it should feel like, and it doesn't feel like that yet, so.
And how'd you end up on Hoto?
I have this friend, her name is Ife. She came to America and spent 2 months there. I wasn't even there, but like she was living at her house. I was there for like 2 weeks. And she was like, hey, if you want to ride, I can introduce you. And at the end, I was like, what the heck, you know? Let's do it. Because I want to ride. And I don't want to ride an e-bike. I got some offers to race the electric class, and it was for like good money too. I'll just say, I was offered like 250 grand to ride an e-bike 100 kilometers a day, right? So I feel like that shows you how much I want to like actually race the race, right? I choose to like do this on like the most budget amateur setup I could find. And you know, still trying to find sponsors for my food bill, because that bivouac food has not cut it. I can't eat it. I lose too much weight. I can't survive.
And what's the goal?
Stage by stage. I can tell you exactly what I'm going to do tomorrow, though. I'm going to start somewhere around fourth. I'm going to let people catch me. I'm going to go the wrong way. I'm just going to follow them. I'm going to screw up as much as I can. I'm going to start far back on stage two. Everyone else is going to push on stage one. All the good guys are going to be on the front on stage two. And then maybe go for a real stage. But I don't really want to go for a real stage until I figure out this gearing problem and a couple other things. I know it's not typical of me to like start in the front and then not like try to kill it. But there's
you're
too many.
Up.
There's no, it's not even that. If I wanted to do that, like it would, like anyone would realize that's a stupid idea, right? It's like there's, yeah, it's not gonna work. But after tomorrow, it will work. I mean, no, for sure. I'm not. I need to finish.
Well, we'll but come I back ride. And check in with you. We're always rooting for you, buddy.
Perfect. Thank you for coming by.
Oh, that was much more than I thought we were going to get from Mason. He's wow. always an open book, and he just laid out his whole strategy for the next 2 days.
He just took us on a journey right there.
We did. We know so much about his journey now, and I'm so proud of him for turning down that much money to race an electric bike. Like, if there's an electric bike manufacturer that needs a racer, I'm officially offering my services.
Yeah. I want to know who's offering $250,000 to race electric bike, because I'm in.
Quinn and I are ready to go.
Yeah. Team Dakar Rally Daily will do the podcast.
I'll bike up.
Game on, guys. Let's sign the contract for next year.
Sign me up. Yeah. 100K a day. I got that in me right now. I'm ready to go.
Wow. Okay. So let's break that down a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
Mason this year hasn't really raced, right?
Yeah, he's been pretty under the radar.
He hasn't done a world championship rally. I don't know if he's done any smaller rallies. I haven't seen anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really had this deal locked down until, you know, relatively recently.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he didn't have too many opportunities to be competitive this year.
Yep.
Chose this Hoto team. Mm-hmm. Which,
and what do you know about the Hoto team? They were here last year. I remember seeing it, and they were clearly KTM rally bikes with Hoto branding on them. Sounds like they are producing a bike or bikes and parts and stuff like that. But what do you know? Do you know anything about them?
I mean, just from what Mason said right there, like he didn't really want to say it, but
sure,
he basically said it is that, yeah, it's a KTM. It's to me, just looking at the bike, it's clearly the old generation KTM chassis. Mm-hmm. They probably just bought a KTM rally replica bike and,
sure,
you know, put their branding on it and he's racing that. So, I mean,
sounds
that's
like
good
a
because
that
old,
good, yeah.
Yeah, that old generation bike is super stable. I mean, Mason's had a lot of time on that bike. I think he has one at home. So it's not a big deal for him. It's not a big adjustment to try to get on a new bike. So he, you know, should be as competitive as he can be, you know, on that bike.
Right.
The team, I think, is obviously the question mark. You know, you have to ride to the ability of your team. And
sure,
I, to me, it looks like they're relatively small and a little bit of a loose program. So, he's going to have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go out and destroy the bike every day and expect these guys to have enough parts and be able to fix it.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, it is the old bike, so maybe KTM customer truck isn't carrying as much spare parts for that one.
Sure.
So they might be a little more self-reliant.
Sure. Sure. Sounds like he's got a couple things to figure out. Suspension. He's halfway there with the fork, sounds like. So he'll probably get some help in the pits and get some settings in there, and then some gearing or some engine stuff to get that thing to pull a little faster in his perspective. And
yeah,
those are pretty important things, but he's got 2 weeks.
Not
to
really
it out.
Sure what his strategy is. He laid out, he kind of contradicted himself a few times there as far as what the strategy is, but
yeah,
he's going to go out and try to screw up and, but not screw up. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I'm ready for him to bust into the top five.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Let's go, Mason. Let's see it. All right. Up next, Anthony just sent us an update from our favorite class in all of racing. And this is the original Blind Motul class, Mally Moto. The guy's on their own with the toolbox of parts next to him. This is Neil Hawker. He's from the UK. He's got a pretty good little interview here. Let's hear from him about, you know, the first day of Malimoto and one of many to come.
We got Neil Hawker in the Malimoto.
How you doing? You all right?
How was your prologue?
Very steady, but I'm just glad it's over. I hate the prologue. It's short and sharp, and you can lose a lot. You can't win anything. So I'm glad it's over. I'm ready for day one.
How was it out there? You said it was pretty fast.
Yeah, super fast. Way faster than I like riding. It's too much risk reward was for me the shaft of it, and just get there. Other than that, I'm super happy with the bike. It's first time I've ridden it, so it feels really good. And it should, fingers crossed it's all good for 2 weeks.
This is your third Dakar?
Third Dakar, yeah. 2020 we don't talk about. Day five, I smashed my, broke my arm, my shoulder, and hit my head pretty bad. So came back in 21, and then I was 37th overall, so I was happy with 2021. Had a 5-year break now, so it's just getting back into it.
And you're in the Malimoto?
Malimoto is just where my romance for Dakar started. There's something about it, I think, growing up, watching people battle against the terrain, keeping their bikes running, keeping their bodies going. It's a bit of me, I think. So I like it. That's the way I want to do it.
You rode a KTM in the past. You're on a Honda this year. How's the Honda? How's the difference? What are your thoughts?
It feels really good. The KTM was so stable and really fast. This feels great in the tighter stuff, in the technical stuff. On the faster bits, it was a little bit. Yeah, it feels a little bit like an enduro bike, really. So it's a little bit to get used to, but it's a motorbike, and I ride a lot of motorbikes, so it's one of the better ones I ride.
It's you don't get much opportunity to blow the cobwebs out and get up to these types of speeds back in the UK. So.
No, not a chance. It's all single track and tight stuff for I'm a trials rider. So going fast is pretty scary, but there's something about it. Just get the end of the 2 weeks, and I wouldn't have to do it again if you could have a little sip of that feeling I felt on the finish line last time. That'd be okay forever, but I kind of forgot what the feeling is, so I want it again.
Well, we'll come check in with you again.
Thank
you. Malimoto guys are awesome. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
What a great Spirit of Dakar case there, man. That guy's doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that is the real Dakar is the Malimoto, and I don't know if people who don't know, this is the class where you're completely unassisted, so no mechanic. You can only have help from another competitor. They have their own little kind of small area in the bivouac. They all sleep in tents. They get one box and a spare set of wheels that the organization transports for them. And other than that, they're on their own.
Yeah.
So
and he, just like Mason, has never ridden his bike before. Just decided to rode it today for the first time, and he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to be sick of it after 2 weeks. So I can see that, you know, if you're doing Malimoto, that might be a good strategy, is just to come in fresh, not riding, and,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to be
too annoyed with your
overtrained
bike
on the start. Yeah.
You don't want to be overtrained for sure. Yeah. You want to be able to just enjoy every day, get that feeling from the finish line again that he's looking for. He got addicted and now he wants more of it.
Yep. Great. So I just looked into this Dakar Future Mission 1000, this electric bike classification.
I know. I was going to talk about that because a couple years ago, the electric bikes were like our favorite highlight because the titanium welded one snapped in half.
That poor guy.
That poor bike just
I'm sure you've seen that video on the internet of this guy. The bike literally broke in half on him. And
the day after we did an interview with him, and he went over all the details of his bike and told us how much the battery weighed. Literally the next day, there's a highlight of him it's snapping in half.
Yeah. I believe when he was, we were playing that interview and they were welding the bike in the background. broke. But it looks like Segway has a pretty big effort here. The top three in this Mission 1000 class are Segway factory team.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know. We might have to reach out to Segway and see if we can
Two things.
I think this is better than my idea of racing Mali Moto as my comeback, but is to go race 100 kilometers a day on an electric bike. I like this.
You're showing.
We'll have plenty of time to do a podcast afterwards.
You're showing your age well and your experience.
Just more bad ideas.
Segway, call us.
Yes.
We will try to get in touch with
DM us.
Yeah, DM me Segway. We will try to get in touch with these Segway guys to hear, you know, honestly more about the bike they're racing. I'm sure they're not something you can buy yet, but maybe they are. Yeah.
And it's interesting. They don't keep time in this class. They have like a little battery icon and they have like 100%. You know, if you finish the whole stage, then your battery's charged to 100%. And if you don't finish this, I guess you lose a little and they get points.
Nice.
Rather than a time.
They get credits like
my kind
carbon
of racing.
Yeah. They get carbon credits.
Carbon offsets.
Carbon offsets. Speaking of finishing the stage, I forgot to talk about this earlier, but last year, Mason Klein's teammate on the Cove Factory Racing team, full climb outfitted guy. That's why he always sticks with me. Niels Therick. Mm-hmm. He had a hell of a day today. And generally, you don't have a hell of a day on a prologue. Like, you can get injured for sure. You can have a bike manufacturer just failure, or not manufacturer, but you can have a bike failure. You can't really get lost on the prologue, so you're not going to be sleeping out under the stars and that. But this guy had a hell of a first day and finished last today, but didn't start last. And Niels got speed. Like, he finished really well last year.
Yeah,
I think he got second in Rally 2 last year overall.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great racer, but today it took him almost 3 hours to finish the prologue. And you remember the top guys did it in 11 and a half minutes. So Neil had a hell of a day today. And what happened was he had a ignition sensor or something fail on his Cove. And luckily he had the part with him. And I think he fixed it on the track and then reportedly started racing again. And then it failed again. So the same part fails twice on 25 kilometers. And then he doesn't have much of a choice. So he pushes his bike through the finish line for like 2.5 kilometers today.
Yeah.
Just like full Ryan Hughes-ing it over the finish line.
That was one of the first video clips I saw when I woke up this morning, was Neil's pushing his bike the last 3 kilometers.
I'll try to drop that clip into this video. Whew,
what a rough way to start your, 6,000 kilometer, 9,000 kilometer race, right?
Oh my gosh.
So, and there's always one guy who has something go wrong in the prologue.
Yeah.
He crashes, he does something, but there's always that guy. And I mean, he was lucky to finish, really.
Yeah. So he does survive to race another day. He did get to the finish line under his own power and got the bike across the line. And hopefully the Cove Factory team figures that out so that he doesn't happen in the middle of a sand dune somewhere later in the race, but I'm sure it's got to be a failure they can identify and fix, I hope.
Not a good look for that brand, for sure. It's not a good way to start the rally.
Not how you want to start the race.
Obviously, they got a little technical problem, and hopefully they can carry enough of those parts to get to the finish.
Luckily, he's an animal.
Yeah.
He can push a rally bike for
I mean, can you imagine if that... He's lucky that he made it within 3 kilometers of the finish, right? It's a 20-kilometer stage. Like, if it happened with 15 kilometers to go, you'd be done.
He had to push his bike almost longer than the electric bikes have to race. Not really. I'm just teasing.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, tomorrow kicks off the first real race day. You got any more notes on today's day you want to talk about?
So, no, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it for today.
Just getting more ASO briefing or
anything coming in? Briefing came in for tomorrow. It doesn't really say a whole lot about, a couple of vigilance points. Apparently there's some rocks out there.
There's rocks out there.
You gotta watch out for some rocks. And
news alert.
Yeah. But other than that, it's going to be a good one.
All right. Thanks again to Climb. Obviously we wouldn't be here without them. Baja Rally, make sure everybody who's listening checks out the Baja Rally website, Instagram, social media. They got specials going. You can pre-enter, you can get geared up, get it in your mind to go race. You get a Rally Navigator subscription and start building your rally routes. That's all you need.
There we go.
And Dakar Rally Daily. You got to listen to us or else you won't know what's going on.
Yep.
100%.
100%. Let's go. Thanks, everybody. We're out of here for today. We'll be back tomorrow and the rest of the next 2 weeks talking about every day, every stage.
Here we go.
Every little thing we can find. Thanks to Anthony on the ground for helping us out, getting us some insight. Thanks to Mason and Mr. Hawker there for chatting with us. And we'll try to get some more updates on your guys as you go, because now we're addicted to your race and we're going to want to know what happens every day. Peace out, everybody. Right. We're leaving.
See y'all tomorrow.
Hopefully I don't say anything stupid that I have to put at the end of this video as a outtake. Mm. Any mistake I make, I put at the end as an outtake.
Yeah.
So hopefully people watch the whole video and realize that I'm not a professional.
No.
And that anybody can do this.
None of us are professionals.
No, we're not.